Good evening, everybody, and welcome. And thank you for coming tonight. Our agenda tonight is quite simple. We have one guest who has been around for a while and who I still have the pleasure of communicating with, who's been well for almost a year and a half and actually shares the same anniversary of wellness in the month of December. I think that since John's made a brief opening statement, I'm going to just say once again that we're going to ask Kathy a couple of questions, and then try to let her tell her story, and then we'll allow you to field questions of her. Again, if you have a question when we get to that part of the call, you hit on the keypad of your phone 5-star. It raises your hand on a screen I'm looking at, and I'm able to unmute you so that you can ask your questions. Without any more ado, I'd like to introduce Kathy and have her say hello to everybody, and then I'll start a couple of quick questions for her, and then I'll let her tell her story, and then allow you to ask her questions. When we're completely done with Kathy, we're going to open the forum to open questions to either myself or John B. Again, thank you for being here. This has already broken every attendance record we've ever had, just by looking at the number of people here. God bless you all. And Kathy, are you there?
I'm here. Hello, everybody. I'm glad to be here. I'm happy to tell you that not only have I been well for a year and a half, I was also well for a year before that, but slipped and quickly recovered.
So, my first question to you, Kathy, and I usually ask these questions, these basic questions of all the guests. I know it's a long time back already, okay?
Yes.
But first of all, how did you find the website? I would imagine we were in the very beginning of the website. Is that correct?
You were in the beginning. I had looked at a lot of different websites. I had actually looked at a lot of different diseases and tried to compare notes and see what was going on with me. I was very frightened. I had a lot of doctors, neurologists, infectious disease doctors going, and nobody seemed to be able to pinpoint anything except say that they knew that I was very sick and thought it was a not-yet-discovered disease process. And so one day I really don't know how I came upon it, but I had talked to a nurse friend who said, have you considered this? I know it's kind of controversial, but maybe you should look up the information on Morgellons. And I said, okay. So I looked it up, which was very frightening. And then I put in there how to cure this, and you came up.
Okay. And how did you and I first make contact?
You told me to quit with all the emails. You said, what with all these messages? I was very frightened and usually am very calm, laid-back person, but I was so frightened that the fear had taken over and I was in a panic state. And I was emailing the man back and to on the website pretty much for everybody to see. And so he called me and told me, you know, you've got to calm down. You've got to relax so we can do something. And then he contacted me he put me together with May. And then she told me some things about diet and different things. And, of course, I drilled her quite heavily. And it was just like a process of me eventually getting to the point where I could think a little better and could concentrate a little better. My concentration level was terrible. I couldn't even use a computer hardly except to bring something up, and then I couldn't concentrate. I had to keep going back and to just to get the information that I needed because my concentration level was so shot. And Mel made contact with me and contacted me pretty much every week. And then we talked about things that I could do to get better. And once he convinced me to go on the entire protocol, that's when I started getting better.
Okay. Now, do you mind if I ask you what you do for a living?
I'm a registered nurse.
Okay. It's enough said. Back in the days when you and I used to talk, we had about 10% of the people who now call or contact us through the website. And the beauty to me of you is I think in my heart you're the third person that I brought to be well again.
I have no symptoms whatsoever at this point in time.
You have no what?
No symptoms whatsoever.
Oh, isn't that amazing? Can you tell us why you think you might have slipped backwards? Because people always are afraid that they can get sick again once they get well. And I try to remind everybody that although I cheat on my diet with the things that I loved before I got sick, instead of eating them once a week, let's say, I might eat those things once every 2 months and stay as clean as possible. But why do you, and that's the only reason I think people actually go get sick again, is because they just go back to the way they were before they got well. And if you do that, well, you should probably get the same results, unfortunately, again. So do you know why you got sick? Do you understand why you got sick again?
I understand some of the factors that contributed to it. excuse me, my daughter had some airway surgery, and I stayed with her in December through Christmas, and I got very exhausted during that time. But not only did I get exhausted, I was also not consistent. I was still on MMS. My maintenance dose was, I believe it was 16 before I started weaning. Was my maintenance dose, and I had pretty much abruptly stopped it a few nights whenever I was dealing with her. I was not taking the wellness formula through Logos. I was not taking that. I had let it run out completely. I have the fear of it now of letting it run out. I was also eating something that with the toxicity levels that I had with the metal toxicity, I was also eating tuna on a daily basis, and Mel thought maybe mercury levels were building up in my system. The thing about it was all these things contributed, I believe, to it. But as soon as I got back on everything, I went back all the way back to my maintenance level of MMS, not to what we do. And I did that again for the next couple of months. It wasn't 2 weeks after I started everything back that I was back to, quote, normal. Since then, the thing that I take that let me backtrack. In March, my husband died in March, and I was in the hospital for 10 days. No wellness formula. I had got to go home. No MMS, no nothing. And so I continued to stay well, which was really amazing to me, and got back on it as soon as everything was over. But I did not get back on the MMS. I went just on the wellness formula, nothing else, absolutely nothing else, except sulfur. I still take sulfur in the mornings. I just
MSM?
Did I say MSS? Okay.
No, MSM sulfur?
Yes.
Capsules, right?
Yes, I take those in the morning, and I take the wellness formula, and absolutely, at this point in time, nothing else.
You still take the basic formula on a daily basis?
Absolutely.
And do you mind if I ask you how old you are? Because I don't even know. I never asked you before.
Oh, what a terrible question for a woman.
I know, but please.
I'm 58.
Okay, and how do you feel? Because I don't feel my age.
Well, no, I'm not really my age. That's just a chronological number.
Right. So that's what I mean. How do you feel? You feel younger? You feel good? You feel strong?
I can probably do anything and last as long at anything as I could 20 years ago, absolutely.
Okay.
I work 70 hours a week. I'm not an inactive person. I'm a very active person. I exercise. I am a size 10.
Okay.
I don't have a weight problem.
No, but what I find most fascinating in your case, okay, and really this is the truth, honey, is that you work in an environment where you're exposed to so much disease and other stuff in the hospitals and so on and so forth, and yet you remain in, really, since your only time where you fell back, you remain now for a good year and a half, you know, just completely symptom-free, and your total life is restored. And it's so hard for people who come here in the beginning to even fathom that's a reality. So give them a gung-ho speech, will you?
Well, the thing is, I don't even take the baths anymore. I take
okay.
the normal baths. I wash my linens now, which were washed every day before. They get washed like other people's once a week. I just don't have any problems with colds. I never get colds. I never get viruses. I never get sick. Period.
Okay. I get injured, but I don't get sick either while staying on these vitamins on a regular basis. I haven't been sick in I don't know how long.
Right. Yes. And if I'm exposed to a family member's cold or a patient's cold or something like that, I don't contract it. So the big thing is when you're starting with this, and you're just discovering what you have, which is scary as all get out to start with, you can't look at the big picture and you can't see down the road. I can tell you what's down the road. If you stick with everything, and this is from my heart, okay? If you stick with everything, you have relapses and you still stick with it, you go through what it takes to get this first system. In the beginning, you're going to have to take your bath. You have to take your MMS. You're going to have to take your supplements. You're going to have to do all these things. You're going to do the antifungals, the antivirals, the whole package. But if you do it, no matter how bad you feel, you will get to the point. Now, I know the environment has to be cleaned. And I know in the beginning it's really, really hard to keep things clean. It's really scary. Everything you're seeing is really, really scary. But you have to do the best you can to keep at least a small area that you live in, even if it's one room. You have to keep that room clean. Your linen is very important. Some people wash them every couple of days. I wash them every day. I got things like stuff to cover my mattresses with. I did go back to my bed. At first, I had the luxury of being able to go out and buy a leather couch. Not everybody's able to do that. But I went out and bought a leather couch. And that's what I slept on because it could be easily cleaned. Air purifiers are good. I use things that we cannot mention, but I use things that you can use your imagination to clean your environment with. I use something that fogs your environment, and I'm not going to go any further than that. But that helped me tremendously. But you got to make sure your car is clean also. The car has to be kept clean. Do whatever you got to do. Vacuum it off and take out what you can. Yeah, don't have a lot of excess stuff in there. Just keep the bare minimum things that you have to clean. Wipe it down, spray ammonia, do what you do. But the thing is, once you get your body clean and you get this controlled in your system, your environment is not going to affect you as much as it used to, because you're going to get overwhelmed with you feeling so badly trying to keep this done. I lived in an environment that was really bad for the location that I lived in. But it's like John told me in the beginning. He said, I truly believe, Kathy, that if you can get your body clean and your defenses up and your immunities up, that you will be able to fight within your environment, and it will no longer matter. I couldn't go outside without getting sick before. When I left that home a few months ago, I could go anywhere I wanted on the property, and nothing was going to mess with me because my body was different. It was not the kind of body that this disease wanted to live in. It was healthy.
Right. I remember you telling me that you couldn't go on the porch because you were attacked by bugs. Is that correct?
Absolutely. All over my feet and legs. I mean, it was just like so visible. And I couldn't go out there from what was coming, you know, from the fields and everything. I just could not go out there. And when I went to my car, it was like a mad dash to get to my car. And, of course, I couldn't drive my car, couldn't be in the car because I went into some massive pain at one point, several months after everything happened, that lasted for a few months. And then as soon as the pain, like the same manner the pain came, the pain disappeared. And I believe that's as I got healthier and healthier. I had terrible joint pain. I had muscles that burned. They were on fire. And of course, the brain fog is absolutely horrible. You can't think. You have the swelling in your face. You have the swelling around your eyes. You have the bloodshot eyes. You're horrible. Your body swells up. Your feet hurt. It's hard to walk on the floor. But if you will stick to it, I mean, you know, nobody's going to do it for you. Nobody is going to do it for you. You've got to do it for yourself. This is one time that you've got to take charge of your life. You can't go out there and say, okay, I'm going to the medical profession, do it or whatever. I am a medical professional, but until this happened to me, I did not have a clue of how to treat it or even that it existed. You have to take charge. And if you're willing to take charge with the attitude that all of us can do this together, all the information that you got, if you use that information and you take care of your body, you will get better. I absolutely believe that. And I don't want anybody to lose hope because I feel like, honestly feel like, that every one of you can get better. I'm done.
Okay. If you're done, then I'm going to say, John, do you have any questions for Kathy before I open the floor to questions from our...
Yes, now I do.
Go ahead.
Thank you. Kathy.
Yes, sir.
It's very interesting, you know, the experience that you've gone through with this transformation in your life. Being a medical professional that's been classically trained, you know, with Western medicine, looking back now, what do you think of this whole idea that the key to overcoming Morgellons or really almost anything is to restore integrity to the bioterrain?
Well, yes, because immunity starts in the gut. And most of the formula, you know, is geared to making the gut more healthy, starting from the inside out. And if you don't have that gut immunity, you know, you don't have a chance of fighting anything off. So, like you said, the terrain has to be restored. The terrain has to be maintained. Once that is done, then you can fight off pretty much anything, you know, out there. And years ago, I had no clue, like I said, of this existence. Probably would have been, in all fairness to medical people, probably would have been just as skeptical, you know, having never seen it or known that I saw it before. Who knows where I got it? You know, seriously, who knows where I got it? I could have got it in the workplace. I don't know. But I absolutely believe that if you keep the train, like you're talking about, if you keep that healthy, you restore it and keep it healthy, that you're going to get healthy. I believe that.
Yeah, I do too, absolutely. From the bottom of my heart, I do. And
with any disease.
Exactly. that's why the my father's protocol was developed in the first place, was the idea of getting all the organs and organ systems in the body in the detoxification potential restored, all of that. That's the key to, you know, thriving in these last days, and when we're all exposed to all kinds of crazy things.
Right. Absolutely.
It was all developed before we ever knew Morgellons existed.
Absolutely. And didn't your father create it to treat himself first?
Yes, he did.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't have Morgellons, of course. He had hepatitis B, but
yeah,
that was. It's the same thing. Any kind of chronic illness, our bodies need to be able to absorb nutrients and get them to the plate, into the cell, and we need to be able to get rid of waste that we're exposed to and waste we generate ourselves.
They also believed it was inconclusive, but it looked that way, that I also had Lyme disease, which a lot of times I hear you can have both at the same time, that they're kind of hand in hand with some people. And
hey, well, go ahead, Kath. I'm going to jump in behind you.
Okay, and I believe it has a lot of benefits for that also.
Thanks, honey, for that statement, because going back, and I guess maybe with Mary Beth and Pam and you, I never understood or knew at that time, at the very beginning, the whole dynamics of Morgellons. I mean, it's interesting that you can fix something before you truly understand it. That's why I know that the highest power in the universe is involved, because I'm not capable of that. But anyway, as I've come to learn in the last 4 years or 5 years now, Morgellons always comes with a co-infection. And it's usually either, and I know these are bold words, and I'm sorry, but it's what I believe I've learned. It comes with either Lyme or MRSA. So the fact that you
had MRSA also
never really surprised me, because I actually found, and I know I told you this, I found MMS on a progressive Lyme board in New England after they told me I was going to be dead for the second time in 2 years. So I've always known that it would be effective against Lyme, and many times I've pleaded with people who have had Lyme to investigate it on their own. Because if you put MMS and Lyme in your cursor, you're going to bring up 100 articles, 10 pages of stuff to read where people have actually claimed success in using it. And MRSA, I know you know about MRSA, Kath. It's everywhere. I'm afraid to go to this particular hospital because I know it's there, because I know that's where I got it the first time. And recently, one of my dearest friends said, I never knew you had MRSA. Well, I'll tell you, people, we all have some co-infection. But the good news is that our protocol is going to work on all three things. They all just take a ton of time.
Well, you know, Mel, I started with wasp stings the end of July.
I know, you got wasp stings, I got bitten by spiders, but you see, the toxicity, the mutation of what's happened to our insects, it's understandable that they could be a vector to bring it into the system, but they're more likely a vector to knock your immune system down, and then you've got Lyme or MRSA. And then when it gets bad, you now also have Morgellons.
Absolutely.
Okay, so, I mean, do you see that evolution as I view it?
I do.
Okay.
I do, because I also had MRSA.
Okay, well, I think John's going to be upset with me. John, you have anything to say here?
No, I'm not upset. I think that the statement that co-infections are virtually always involved is pretty obvious, you know, and you name it. There are any number of opportunistic critters, if you will, that are going to take advantage of the opportunity to enter into a human being when their metabolism has shifted in such a way that they're now the convenient host, and that's why, you know, to me, there's not going to be some kind of silver bullet found for Morgellons. The silver bullet is to restore all the systems in the body and to try to avoid choosing to conform to the patterns of this world, to eat what the world is eating and to drink what the world is drinking and all of that. And so it boils down to the quality of our choices, what we put into our body and how we take care of it.
Right.
Anything else you'd like to say, Kat?
Well, he's right. You know, at the first almost a year, I ate organic. Then I started introducing, when I started getting well, other things. Ate a lot of salads. Oh, my gosh. A lot of salads. No bread. No this. No that. No rice. I mean, I was just like, Mel had a sandwich one day, and he even put it on the thing that he had had a sandwich. And I even called him up and said, what kind of sandwich is it? Because I'm starving. But I just was so scared to eat anything for a while there. But once you get well, it's like Mel said, you can start introducing other things into your diet. You just can't make them a, you know, like a daily thing. It's just once in a while you can have this that you like or that that you like. I choose not to have sugar. Period, because I know that with this, you also, I don't know if everybody's aware, there's a good chance of having mild chronic pancreatitis with this also. And having said that, you know that the pancreas is where the insulin is produced, and so that's why I choose not to eat sugar whatsoever.
Let me interrupt you for 1 second. I know that, you know, you haven't been perusing the website with regularity now that you're well, and honey, I totally understand. But you would not believe the articles and diet section as it has evolved. And if you have a chance, you need to just look at the recipe section, because you'll go, we didn't have this, because I know you.
We didn't have anything. We had nothing. We had green apples.
I wanted a banana or a strawberry
or something.
Today's recipe section, I mean, is unbelievable, Kathy. I mean, really, it is. And while everyone's listening, I was informed today that lemon meringue pie is going to be introduced into the recipe section in this coming week by a 12-year-old.
Well, I'm in.
I'm in too. That's my favorite pie in the whole world.
I would love a piece of lemon meringue pie. Just pass it over.
All right. Anything else you'd like to say, Kat, before I let people ask you questions?
No, I just don't want people to give up hope. That's the big thing. I mean, it's going to happen. I really believe it's going to happen if they'll stick to it. I really believe that. And you just have to work. It's trial and error. You're getting the right EMS, you know, the levels. It's getting it up to when you get sick. And I mean, it's terrible, but you have to get sick. You got to get to the point of being sick. And that's when, you know, the toxins start to die and your body starts to rid itself of the toxins. You got to get to that point, and then that's when you start backing off.
Well, it's like I've told everybody who's ever come here, you're going to get sicker before you get better, and when you curse my name, you're halfway home.
There you go.
All right, I'm going to allow anybody who would like to ask Kathy a question to please hit on the keypad of your phone 5-star, and one at a time I'll unmute you and let you do just that. Well, for some reason, that doesn't seem to be working, so I'm going to unmute you all and ask again if anyone wants to ask a question. right
Hi.
Now. Go ahead.
Hi.
Okay, you up first. Go ahead.
Hi, I'm Rose, and I just wanted to say hello to Kathy and Mel for John and to everyone that's out there this evening, and to say that also I have the secure stage I'm working on, and I've been working on it for a long time, that but I'm feeling a lot better, and I want to thank all of you.
Please, if you're not talking, mute your own phone. Rose, how you doing?
I'm doing very well, Mel. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good for an old man.
Okay, I'm glad to hear that.
Don't make me laugh. My chest hurts.
I know. I was wondering how that was going.
It's going good. You know me. There are no horror stories allowed. You know that.
Yeah. Well, I just want to thank you for everything and thank John, and I just wanted to say hello to all the people in the audience this evening, and just encourage all of us to continue to not give up hope.
God bless you, Rose.
Hey, thank you, Kathy. Thank you so much for telling us how you weathered the situation and how you've come to be cured. God bless you.
Thank you, Rose.
Hey, Rose.
Is there anyone else who would like to ask a question of Kathy?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Mel, Bill, am I on?
You're on.
There you go. Okay. Hello.
Hey, let me just tell people that Bill is one of the people that has been brought forth to work with me and help me now that he's getting well. And that he is a counselor here, and he's so appreciated. God bless you, Bill, and take it away.
Well, thanks, Mel, for the kind words there. Kathy, I have a few questions to ask you here. How long did it take you for your recovery, beginning to end?
Okay, well, my recovery might have taken a little less time if I had not been really stubborn. I started everything the end of it was the end of July of 2010, and I had my relapse around December of 2011. When I relapsed, I had actually been well for probably about 7 or 8 months, and then since then, like I said, it's been a year and a half.
So
I was, okay, let me just put it in these words. When I started the protocol, the end of July, the full protocol, I went back to work April the 13th of the same year. So I was well enough to go back to work full time.
How many
After
months?
About 2 months, I was well enough to go back to work.
Okay. All right. How long were you on MMS for?
I was on MMS the first time, well, the whole time around, actually. You know, I told you that when my daughter had surgery, I was not taking it like I should. So we'd say probably at least, I see, Joe died in March. 2.5 years, probably. More than 2.5 years, actually, altogether. I was having trouble letting go of it. I could have let go of it earlier, but this is the way I figured it. Just go ahead and go on. And I probably still been on it if Joe hadn't got sick. But probably could have stopped earlier, but I was actually on it about 2.5 years.
So at the end, when you went on your maintenance dose, just kind of curious, what was your maintenance dose?
My maintenance dose was all the way up to 16. When I started weaning, I started weaning probably, Mel had told me for a long time to wean. I'd weaned back to about 13 after I'd been on it for about a year and a half. Then I weaned back. When Joe got sick, I was actually only doing about 8 or 9 drops a night. So what I would say is probably for me, the insecurity kept me on it longer than I maybe needed to go on it. But I don't think anyone should be on it less than a year and a half. That's my personal belief.
And let's not also forget, Kathy, that you knew that, and I didn't know this until tonight, but you knew that you had Mercer and Lyme and Morgellons.
Yes, I knew I had all those things. And probably if I was going to make a guess, a general guess for people, and it's just a general estimate, I would say after you have your last symptoms, stay on it a year. Now, Mel would tell you probably less, but I'd say at least a year.
Okay, well, you're a doctor, and I'm not, so, okay, I'm going to go back.
I'm a nurse. They won't let me doctor.
But that's interesting. I'm glad.
Hey, everybody's body is different. You know, my doctor said I was cured, and then I said nothing for 3 months until I had not taken any meds. And then after 3 months and still feeling good, you know, that's when I said, okay, I must be better. But, again, everybody's body is different. Kathy, you killed every one of the pathogens that's associated with all three diseases. I don't care how long it took you, because if you didn't kill them, they were going to kill you.
Right. And see, I had this fear of what's left, even though I feel good.
That's a good fear to have, Kathy. You hear me?
Right. Right. And my thing is also, Phil, if you do have a relapse and you see the symptoms coming, then you go ahead, you go back on it. And if you came off of it, you know, after this many months, I'd double the months the next time. You know, I would zap it. I would just zap it. And I really don't think the MMS is going to hurt you. So for me, staying on it at least a year after the last relapse, and it's not really a problem for me. It wasn't. The taste was awful, but every time I drank it, I kept thinking. And, you know, I dreaded it every night. There was not one night. And I even counted the days that I'd been on it, you know, like 377, 500 and whatever. And, you know, I was counting them in my mind every night. I'd say, you know, this is what I have to do. But as soon as I got it down, of course, it's okay. But I left it for the last thing at night. And I always dreaded it.
Yes, definitely.
Thanks.
I think we
big help.
On that line, you said you had Lyme disease?
It was inconclusive, but I had all the symptoms, and I had the tick, you know, bite and everything. I think I had untreated Lyme disease for a while. The thing about Lyme disease, when you have your spinal tap, if you do not have the test done within that acute phase, you're going to keep having an inconclusive test. You have to have it done within the acute phase in order to have a definite positive or negative.
Well, I find that very interesting, though, because I'm reading more and more that I've seen on the Internet regarding this being a co-infection. And that makes sense, because when I first got this, when I took in November, I went to my doctor, who's a naturopath, that I found in my area here, and he did all the blood tests on me, and then I did a stool test. So the stool found out I had H. pylori, which is a...
Please, if you're not talking, put a hand over your phone.
Oh, I'm not. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, now yeah. I can, Billy, because they did that. Go ahead. Not you.
Okay, that's a bacteria within the stomach lining, you know, and the intestines and so forth. And he told me, well, let's see, you got that. And then from the blood test, you got a Lyme spot in you. Got a Lyme spot. I mean, I might have had that since I was a kid. And
it's possible.
Yeah, and I said, well, do you think we should treat that? And he said, it's low enough on a scale. I think we should, let's do the H. pylori first. And you know, within a month, he retired anyway because he had his own problems, health issues. But anyway, so... Is there a chance with this MMS, you think that could knock that out? Or is that?
I really believe the MMS not only knocked the Mercer out that was in my system, which I contracted from one of the wasp stings. I had multiple ones. I didn't think anything of it because I have a high pain threshold, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I got stung by wasps. You know, that's going with our day. But I did develop Mercer in one area, which is the first time in my life. I believe that it probably cleaned both of those things out of my system because, you know, with Mercer, I don't know if you know or not, don't know, I shouldn't say that, but with Mercer, you tend to get reinfections. You keep having less and less over time, but you tend to get reinfections, and I never got a reinfection.
Oh, okay, interesting.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Mel, can I say something real quick before we go in?
Yeah, well, go ahead, John.
Hey, thank you. Everybody listen up. This is important. We record these teleconferences so people who come to the website, if we're not here to listen to this phone call, will be able to hear. So there may be hundreds of people on this line now, but they will probably get to hear this later. So it's very important that you mute your phone. If you're on a smartphone, you're not talking. If you're just listening, mute your phone and then unmute it when it's time for you to say something. And if you're not on a smartphone, cover the phone microphone so it don't pick up all this background noise, because I'm having a lot of
Okay. You mute your phones by going to the keypad and hitting 4-star. Try it, people.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
All right. Billy, go ahead. John, do you want to say anything else?
No, I don't. Thank you. I just want to better say that now, but then, you know, better now than later.
If it continues, I'm going to mute everybody. And if you don't know how to raise your hand, well, then we're going to have no questions later. But
okay,
you can't have this background noise and be effective to the 5,000 to 25,000 people who are going to listen to it later on our website.
Okay,
thank you
for
your cooperation.
It's
4-star if you're not supposed to be talking right now.
Okay. All right. So when I'm done, I'll press 4-star to get off, okay?
Right. Go ahead, Bill.
Okay. Okay. I want to ask you about the diet, alkalinity versus acidic. How well did you measure that or keep to
that? I stuck totally by it. I made my diet alkaline, and, you know, always kept in mind that lemons was good for me because they are the only food that goes into the body as an acid and becomes an alkaline. I used a lot of lemon juice and cayenne pepper while I was in my sick phase, and actually did that for probably about 2 good years. And I still drink lemon juice off and on to this day with a little cayenne pepper in it. I was really in onions. I ate a lot of onions, which I'm not crazy about eating a lot of onions, but I did for the antifungal. I think it's antifungal in the onion. I did the, what was that? Oil of oregano under the tongue.
Yeah.
And then I did my sulfur. And for a while, I actually, I would say probably for about 9 months, I did the olive leaf extract from John along with the sulfur tablets because I wasn't able to get the Bactrim, and the two together are supposed to be pretty much the same thing as taking Bactrim. I did that for about 9 months. Sometimes I'd go off for a week or two and then I'd go back on. But as far as the alkaline goes, yeah, I did the alkaline. I did the alkaline, believe me.
Are you there, Bill?
Conference muted.
Mel?
Are you there, Bill?
Yeah, I don't know what happened. It just said I was unmuted, so.
No, I know. That's because I'm at the controls.
Oh, there you go.
But, no, I didn't.
Oh, don't make me laugh, Billy.
There you go. Cass, so you measured yourself all the time. I think that's so important to keep your body alkaline.
I did. And like I said, you know, I like strawberries and different things like that, but I stayed away from them. And then they say there are also the fungal properties in the strawberries. You have to be careful of when you sit. No, I did. And pretty much the only fruit that I was eating at the time was the green apples because it was very restrictive back then, the diet was.
As far as keeping alkaline, I know for myself, sometimes if I'm in a hurry and I can't use a lemon, and squeeze some lemon juice, what I'll do is baking soda, butter.
Right.
But I use the organic one. I just don't use the Arm & Hammer. I use the Bob's Red Mill.
Yes.
Actually, Peter told me about that, so that's a great one. So I assume that's okay to do.
Yes. I just what I did was I went ahead and squeezed my lemons and put them in, you know, in a container with some cayenne pepper and put it in the refrigerator and just kept it there.
That's
just
great.
So I would have it just in case I needed it, you know, really quick.
Great, great. Listen, I appreciate your information, Kathy.
Oh, you're welcome.
Good. And I'm going to unmute now. Here we go.
Hello, Kathy?
Yes.
Hi, Kathy. My name is Peter. I'm about 14 months into treatment, and I just wanted to thank you for coming on board and sharing everything, and I had a quick question for you.
Okay.
I was curious if you could tell the community what, to the best of your knowledge, is the mindset, so to speak, of the medical community now regarding this affliction, and if we're seeing any positive movement forward in that regard.
No, not in the Southeast. No, not what I'm seeing. No. I don't, you know, it's still, you know, even the Mayo Clinic, who really amazes me whenever, you know, I was there. I look at the Mayo once in a while on that, you know, just to see if they changed their mind. No, it's still pretty much the same. If they've never experienced it, it's easier to pretend it's not there than to have their colleagues question them.
So I'm just curious, is there any official protocol for doctors that will not, let's say, allow them to treat or will put them in harm's way if they agree to treat or not? That you're aware of?
There are a few in Georgia that do treat it. There are a few that do treat it. But the majority of them, they're not really going to talk about it. They're still going to do the DOP, you know, diagnosis and everything, and which is really hard to take if you're a patient. You're already suffering. If somebody's labeling you that way, what have you accomplished? I mean, seriously, what have you accomplished? And so I found that my best thing was finally for me personally. To be quiet, because I had what I needed through my research, you know, to treat my disease, and I could get well, whereas I heard things as far out there as aging skin, you know. I'm like, that's not aging skin. Aging skin doesn't look like that. It just gets wrinkled, you know. But what I'm saying is we've really got the tools that we need to do it ourselves, and I don't believe we're going to get a lot of support. I wish it was different. I don't see that happening for a good long time, because especially with the Centers of Disease Control not getting on board like they did the last time, and them saying, oh, no, we don't see, you know, this just doesn't exist. I think that had a lot to do with them saying, no, we're not going to go there, and we're not going to risk our peers, you know, laughing at us and not really taking it seriously.
Okay, thank you. Hey, one other quick question, Gal. Do you have, for those of us out here that don't necessarily have comprehensive medical care in place right now and maybe have exhausted our finances due to trying to take that route early on like many of us had, unfortunately, do you have any suggestions or can you give us any idea of whether or not it's advisable in some cases to have the Lyme test done and what the cost of that might be just to go out and get it done on your own?
It would be, if you did not have insurance to cover it, it would be expensive. All medical procedures now, the smallest procedures are extremely, extremely expensive.
But do you have any idea what the cost of the Lyme is? Just off the top of your head, I'm just curious.
No, but I bet you anything going as an outpatient into a hospital and having that test done with a pathology and blah blah blah, everything else that goes with it. I bet they'd want a couple thousand just like that.
Okay.
You know, just an outpatient, little tiny outpatient procedures just out of sight these days.
Okay. Well, thank you, Kathy. God bless you, and appreciate it.
What I would do is if I suspected I had Lyme disease, I would just use the protocol to treat that along with the other. That's what I would do rather than exhaust my finances any further.
I couldn't agree more. Everything you said, I've been doing and plan on continuing. So, yeah, I can affirm everything you said.
Best to you, Peter.
Yeah, same to you, and congratulations on your return to health, gal, and thanks for being here again.
Oh, well, thank you.
Conference muted.
Well, I had to unmute you all again. If there are any more questions here for Kathy before John and I start fielding other questions. Anybody else?
I have a comment.
Hi, Teresa.
Hi, Mel.
Hey, is Charlie up?
No, he's at preschool. I have a comment, if I may, about the Lyme disease.
Go ahead.
Because I actually did get a test, and in Australia it costs $250. And for me personally, it was a very positive thing to do because it actually gave me, I suppose, medical legitimacy. It gave me something that I could tell other people that I had that was believable. And it also gave me an understanding of what was happening with regard to Borrelia virus in my body, bacteria. That was it, really. I just wanted to say that I do think it's good to get the test.
The only problem with the test is if you're, like I said, if you're in the acute phase, it would, you know, it will give you an answer, but
right,
if you're somebody like me, it wouldn't.
Them what acute phase means. I don't know what that means.
Okay, the acute phase.
I don't know if that's true, though.
Okay, the acute phase is the first few weeks after you've actually been bitten by the tick.
As far as I know, there's no phase where it can't be done because that bacteria, the Borrelia, is actually in your bloodstream.
It sounds like in your country you might have a different way to test than they're doing it here, which would not surprise me and may be more effective.
Right, yeah, because ours is a blood test.
No, they usually do a spinal tap here.
Yeah, ours is a blood test and they do a DNA test, so yeah.
That's a lot more comprehensive than they do here.
Yeah, well, maybe that's a problem. Yeah, because the acute
of course
phase or whatever is an issue.
Right.
The point, you know, that Kathy is making, the point that Kathy is making is that there's a period of time early on in early onset of the infection that you can test things more accurately than you can when someone has had this the infection for a longer period of time and the body starts making adjustments to that.
Yeah, because of the decrease in titer, absolutely.
Right. That's basically what she said, meaning.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Well,
Debbie, you are one unusual nurse.
Why am I unusual?
Well, you have a lot more knowledge than most nurses do.
Oh,
right,
okay.
The point taken, John, what I'm getting out of this is that they're doing a more comprehensive test in Australia for, of course, less money than the test that we do that isn't as good. Would you say that's correct?
If they're doing a DNA test, yes. If they're going as far as checking the DNA, yes, they're doing more intensive testing than we do.
Okay. Teresa.
Yes.
Thank you very much, but it doesn't look like that's going to help us in our country because we're so unprogressive at times.
Teresa, we're coming to Australia, girl.
Yeah, really.
Thank you, guys. Listen, I really just wanted to make the point that I guess professionally, too, it's really hard to have Morgellons. and explain away your illness. So for me, being able to say I had Lyme disease was a good way out. So thank you for listening anyway.
Yes, I agree with you on that. It's always nice to have something you can say that people take you seriously.
Yeah.
Thanks, Teresa. It's always wonderful to hear your voice. And, of course, you're going to say hello to my little buddy for me, eh?
I will, Mel. I will. Lovely to hear you, too. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye now. John, did you have something you wanted to say here?
I was just going to say hello to Teresa as well, and to give her, ask her to give little Charlie a hug for me, too.
Are there any other questions for Kathy? Okay. Are there any questions? Well, wait a minute now. Hey, Kath?
Yes.
Thanks, good buddy.
Oh, you're welcome. It's good to talk to all of y'all.
Oh, it's great to hear that you're at the place that I'm at.
I'm absolutely wonderful.
Thank you for being here tonight and sharing everything with the new people.
Well, I know they're going to get better. I know they'll get better.
Are there any questions out there first for John B? Any questions for John B? Speak up. Okay. Sorry, John.
That's quite all right.
Oh, no, yeah, I'm sure you're not upset about it. All right, are there any questions out there for me?
I have a question for you, Mel. This is Peter.
Hey, Peter.
How you doing, buddy? I haven't talked to you. First of all, I hope you're on the mend. So.
No horror stories.
Good. The question I have for you is based on, the concern that some people may have since you had initially suggested there would be more than one guest tonight, that other people aren't here because they haven't relapsed. I know that's not the case, but I just thought it might be important to ask you why your other guests weren't here and to make sure that they're not here, so to speak, because they've returned to being ill with this. You could give us all a certainty that that's not the case.
Well, it's absolutely not the case, okay? First of all, we only started to put this conference call together like we do all other conference calls about 2 weeks ahead of time, okay? One of the three guests who I tried to invite on the show, I have to this date and moment in time still not even spoken to. People get better. They go on with their lives. Now, the other guest that I invited, in the evening, they told me, oh, don't worry, either my daughter or I will be there. And the next day, they sent me an email. They could not attend. But they had been a guest on this show earlier, on earlier programs, and so I didn't think it was a big deal. And regardless of who shows up when we invite them, or whatever the reason is, we're going to have these shows because it's an opportunity for everybody to learn something. Tonight, this show, talking about co-infections, something John and I have known for an awful long time. But, it's important that everybody else starts to know.
Yeah, I just thought it was important that people know that they haven't returned to being sick, and that's why we're not here tonight. That's all, Mel.
That's an excellent question. That really is an excellent question.
Now we know that, and I knew that. I just wanted everybody else to know that. Just to reaffirm for everyone.
Okay. Hey, Kathy is the third person that I ever helped get well. Okay. The second person doesn't talk to me anymore because of rule number four, which you can read in the form. That I can't help. That wasn't my choice when they did what they did. The other person has already been hit on two different conference calls.
So all remain well. That's what matters. All remain well. Wonderful.
Well,
are
I can tell
other
you
questions?
This. Hi, Mel.
Is that Justin Hollywood?
Of course. I just figured out how to use the microphone. I was trying to ask the question, but it wasn't working, so I had to switch it out.
Okay, no problem. How you doing, young man?
Doing okay. I just thought I'd say hi and see how you're doing and everything.
I'm doing wonderful. I'm absolutely wonderful.
Okay.
I mean, I tried to go back on the Bowflex this morning. All right, Justin, if you want to know the skinny. And my trainer's sitting there, and he's putting me through a test for concussion. And he said, you ain't going back on the Bowflex for at least another 10 days. So that's how I'm doing, buddy.
Excellent. Excellent. Good to
right,
hear.
I mean, I want to get back to work so I can have my six-pack before my 68th birthday, and he won't let me.
Well, I guess you can do what you can, right?
Hey, that's all you could ever do is what you can. But I'm fine, son. I really am. How's it going with you over there who disappeared for 3 weeks?
Oh, I've been doing all right. Just easy. So rest
okay.
is important.
Oh, I know rest is important. I try to tell that to people every time I talk to them. Have you started any of your college courses?
Not yet, but I'll be starting September 7th. Looking forward to that.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Feeling pretty good. So.
That's wonderful. How long are you on the protocol now?
I think I'm going up to eight or 9 months, I think.
How many drops are you at?
20 drops. So.
How many?
Yep.
How many?
20.
Oh, baby. And how do you feel?
I feel pretty good. So.
Okay. Have you cursed my name yet?
Yeah, I at 23, I was swearing quite a bit.
Okay.
So. Yeah.
You got high tolerance, son. That's a good thing.
Extremely high tolerance, so.
Did you hear Kathy tonight?
I did.
I'll bet you'll be joining her in another 10 months.
Yeah, I'm excited for it. So.
Anything else you'd like to say tonight?
I kind of wanted to ask Kathy one question. I didn't get a chance to ask her it because of the phones, but.
Are you still there, Kath? No, I think she's gone.
Okay.
I mean, for that, I'm sorry, but let me just see if I can figure it out by looking at... Yeah, she's gone.
All right. That's okay.
If you put the question on the website in the post she made...
Mm-hmm.
She made a post.
Okay.
I believe it's something like a message from an older warrior.
All right.
You can put the question there, and I'm sure she'll respond.
Okay. Sounds good.
Okay. Anything else you'd like to say?
No, I'm just happy to hear everyone, and it sounds like everyone is doing pretty well, so that's a good thing. So,
hey, Mel?
Yes, Bill?
Is that a question that Justin can throw out? I'd be kind of curious what the question is.
Well,
I think it's on the website, but you can go ahead and give it to Billy, Justin.
Well, I just wanted to ask her what her biggest challenge was and how she overcame it. Like, it seems that people have different things they have problems with and challenges. I was just curious. That was just my question.
That's a good question, though.
Yeah.
Hey, well, like I said, you put it up there in her thread. And I know she'll respond.
Okay. Sounds good.
Okay,
then. Voice, Justin.
Are there any other questions right now? Because I have a couple of things I'd like to just go over with everybody. Okay. Anybody that I missed in the last 2 weeks that absolutely needs to talk to me, please email me tonight so that I can talk to you tomorrow between 10 a.m. and 1 p.m. Pacific. Because after that, I'm going to take 5 or 6 days off where I don't sit in front of the computer or respond to anybody so that I can get myself 100% back to health so that I can be effective as I was before my accident. I've often asked you all about community, to continuously talk on the website and point out the positive things that are happening as you're going through the protocol, because it's community that brings hope to the new people, not me, not any one individual, but all of you, all the voices together, all of the time, please. Also, we are going to be bringing forth a new website. I'm going to put a picture of the logo on our website tomorrow. It is the He Cures All Foundation, which is a foundation created to generate revenue for those suffering not only from Morgellons, but all three of the toxicity diseases that we discussed tonight. MRSA, the new form of Lyme, and of course Morgellons. But we need a website like this because we are growing exponentially at a rate that is not normal. And there's just not enough funding for all the people who are asking for help. And they're not only asking for help when it comes to Morgellons, they're asking for help if they have MRSA or Lyme, because they're as devastating as Morgellons is. So, I want to thank everybody for coming tonight. Hope that you got good information. As you can hear, my same old pain in the butt, strong voice. So I'm going to be fine. I just need a little bit of time. God bless you all. John, if you'd like to close with a little prayer, that would be great.
All right. Be happy to. Father, thank you for our time together tonight. I trust that you will use that time to minister in the hearts of the people who hear this, that they will have hope and they will have victory. We thank you for all your blessings, Lord, for watching over each and every one of us. Bring us back together again soon. And in Jesus' name, amen.
Good night, everyone. God bless you. Be well.